This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for June 5th, 2009. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. And later this half hour, Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op will have cash grain analysis. In agricultural news, the head of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission laid out his vision to lawmakers on new regulations, but grain traders are not happy with the plan. And Todd Gleason will talk with University of Illinois agricultural economist Darrell Good about how crop revenue insurance fits in with a new corn crop marketing plan. It's all on the Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Asgro's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
Let's check how prices fared in their settlements this Friday afternoon in Kansas City. July wheat settled at 675 down 15, September 686 down 14 and 3 quarters, December 702 and a quarter down 15. July wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade settled at 623 down 12 and a quarter, September 651 down 12 and a quarter, December 676 down 11 and 3 quarters. July corn settled at 444 down 4 and a half, September 454 down 4 and a quarter, December 467 and a half down 4. March of 2010, 478 and a quarter down 3.5. May, 485 and a half down 3.75. July crude is trading 68.41 down 40 cents. July beans, settlement there 12.25 and a half down 4.5. August 11.71 and a half down 6.5. November 10.61 and 3/4 down 19 and 3/4. January 10.67 and a quarter down 19 and a half. July soybean meal 3.96 down $3. August 3.71 down 3.20. July soybean oil 39.73 down 61. August 39.87 down 63. June live cattle 80.15 up 12.5. August feeders 96.62.5 up 2.5. And June lean hogs 57.17.5 down 10 on the day. And those are the settlements in Kansas City and Chicago.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Taking a look at AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser's extended highlights for the two-state region, he says a west-to-east front will form and sit near northern Illinois and Indiana over the weekend, triggering scattered showers and thunderstorms across northern areas. The steadiest and heaviest rainfall should stay to the north across portions of Wisconsin and Michigan. A few scattered showers and thunderstorms may pop up in the central third of the two states over the weekend, but mostly dry weather should prevail. To the south, dry weather will prevail this weekend. A cold front will likely push southeastward across Illinois and Indiana early next week, triggering scattered showers and thunderstorms Monday afternoon into early Tuesday. Dry and cooler weather will follow for a couple of days.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on Illinois Public Media. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon, Mike.
Hello there, Dave.
Well, here's a telling number for you. On the week, July beans up 41.5, November down 3/4.
Yeah, it really was an interesting day on the close, especially, Dave. I think there's maybe a couple things going on. The bullish mindset in the old crop is still very much present, especially ahead of the report on the 10th here next week. But by the same token, I think I've heard a little bit more dialogue and conversation as the week progressed about the new crop acres and what's going to be happening here once we get the acreage numbers at the end of the month, especially in light of the planting delays that we've seen in the southern third parts of Illinois, Indiana, and Missouri. I spoke with a good client in Missouri on Wednesday, and they had not turned a wheel. And it seems like you get much below I-70, and you're dealing with that more and more. That this week was really the first week they started to get moving. I think Chicago probably knows a little bit more about that and maybe are putting that into the price here as we finished out the week.
So what does that imply for November beans forward?
Well, I think, you know, I guess the biggest thing for November beans is we've always had an overvalue level of about 1040 in no futures, with the idea that if we're going to go above 1040 in November, it's going to either be on continued Chinese demand, which that is not happening right now, and we've seen that in the last week or two, continued strong export sales, in other words, or word of new Chinese cargoes being bought, and that's really stalled itself out in the last 2 weeks, or it's going to be on a much weaker dollar. And that is probably the biggest reason why we've been able to eclipse that 1040 level in November beans and move, you know, well above that, stretching almost to that $11 mark or just under 1090 mark. So I guess our perspective would be, as we get the report next week underneath our belt, if we are indeed anywhere around 115 to 120 million bushels in carryover, in other words, we have a cushion, an adequate cushion over 100 million bushels for 08 carryover, then that new crop maybe has more declines ahead of it, especially with some of these buy signals we see here in the dollar trade today. So what we've been trying to press with our clients and press in the newsletter and impress upon the clients' minds is we really can in the beans, as long as we can grow a decent crop. And that's a big if, but if we can, we really can have our cake and eat it too. We can have really, really nice profit in the new crop and at the same time turn around and have some re-ownership in place in the August contract in case China does continue to have a drought, or China does need see the need to keep buying, or Brazil's numbers in terms of production are dramatically cut by CONAB later today. I think you can have a very nice gross revenue per acre, even with some re-ownership costs involved in buying some August calls back.
Should producers take a look at lightly hedging 10 beans, because I remember a time when you could have hedged 09 beans at a $14 bill.
I had an exact question asked that by a client today in Ohio, and it's interesting because I thought about that after we got done talking, and I called him back, and I said, you know, I'm good with hedging 2010 wheat once we know where we are in terms of the harvest progress and what kind of yields we're looking at. But when you're looking at 2010 beans, I know that in our analysis, because we do independent analysis, I know we're going to be on the low end of demand. I already am hearing that from some of our contacts in Chicago. And for instance, Oil World came out with some estimates this week, 09 production in beans above what we're giving, well above what we're giving, but their carryover levels, 200 to 300 million bushels, 150 million to 200 million bushels below where we're at. In other words, we're well over 300 million bushels. Oil World's just coming in a little over 200 million bushels. I think what that means is that their demand level is much, much higher. We don't see that. And so what I would answer your question this way, Dave. We really have to get through August in order to really start pinpointing where we're going to be a year from now in terms of bean supply and demand. It's pretty easy for me to say that with these current price levels, 2010 wheat plantings will be higher than normal, or at least as high as they were this past year. Beans, there's still a lot of unwritten history here, so I'd be looking at the August time period to start maybe doing that if I see still quite a bit of premium like you're talking about.
We have a couple of new wheat numbers rattling around. Informa puts the crop at 1.513 billion bushels there, And then we had an all-wheat number for next week's WASD report at 2.021. And I wonder, in combination with those numbers, not imply for wheat, but for corn.
Well, I think it goes back to this could be the winter wheat yield, I think, is projected by Informa at 44.5 bushels. That's a big yield number. Mm-hmm. And I think if that ends up being the case, then we once again have wheat as the leader to the downside. It is burdensome once again. I had a question today by a producer. Well, my soft red wheat is looking terrible compared to what it was a month ago. Do you think the market will care about that? And I said, well, number one, I doubt it if the dollar is rallying. Number two, we have such a large carryover level that even if we lost 200 million bushels between hard red and soft red, we'd still have a very big historically large U.S. ending stocks number. And so if the Informa numbers end up being correct, then I think that wheat becomes a leader to the downside for the corn. Chicago, some of the contacts in Chicago, they talked a lot about how burdensome the wheat number was after the May report. I have a sneaking suspicion that those contacts in Chicago will bring that up after the June report next week because, quite frankly, I think they've forgotten about it with the bean rally and what's been going on out in the outside markets because we're looking at a little over 180 million tons of global wheat ending stocks, and that is just a huge, huge number compared to the last couple, 3 years.
When you look at the charts on both corn and beans in the lead option month, what you see is a stall out. Essentially, or for the last 3, 4, 5 days, they can't get through the tops of their levels. Is that of any concern to you?
Yeah, it is. And I think more importantly, what's concerning, and I talked to Tom, you mentioned Tom Fritz yesterday on the radio, and we were on there with you, and I talked to him earlier today, and we were talking technicals, and he and I both came to the conclusion that middle part of this week, when the July wheat, the July crude, and the June S&P 500 all touched their 200-day moving averages and held that number, that's a critical level for those three commodities and for the overall technical trend for lead month futures, whether it's corn, beans, or wheat. So that's going to be the first thing we look at Tuesday morning after the report, technically, and the very next thing we look at will be the November beans. Like we talked about yesterday with you, if we go back below those that 1040 level, we then take a move right back down below those January highs, and it took a lot of energy to get above those January highs, Dave, and it took a lot of old crop strength to be able to do that. So if we go back below 1040 after the report on the 10th, I think that's a real nice sell signal for producers to start working in the hedge mindset. Now, I've had a lot of conversations with producers, once again, on beans, and they seem like they want to sell it, but they don't want to defend it on the August calls. And all I can say is this week should show us very quickly and very easily that this is a good risk management plan because you don't have to worry about the day-to-day activity as much. You can look at more of the trend. Where are the beans going between now and mid-July? That's what I'm worried about. I'm not worried about the day-to-day trends. So I really would strongly recommend locking in that profit if we go below that 1040 level again after the report. But I would also go ahead and defend it with those August calls. Don't take half the recommendation.
And very quickly, 982, the objective to the downside?
Yeah, that's your first line in the sand for those November futures. And I would say to you, you've got a 200-day moving average. It's all the way back down at 970. If you see wheat, the S&P, and the gold, and the crude oil all go through their 200-day moving average, I think you have to be on notice that the Nov beans may be heading towards that too.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Have a nice weekend, Dave.
You too. Mike Zuzalo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In agricultural news, the head federal commodities regulator laid out his vision for how the Obama derivatives regulatory plan should be implemented yesterday, telling lawmakers that any new laws must cover every dealer and every type of derivative. In prepared testimony before the Senate Agriculture Committee, Commodity Futures Trading Commission Chairman Gary Gensler recommended amending the Commodity Exchange Act to require all derivatives dealers for the first time to register with regulators. In addition, he called on lawmakers to expand the CFTC's enforcement powers over swaps and give the agency the authority to set position limits across all markets to prevent manipulation and excessive speculation. Meanwhile, Cargill Incorporated, which offers agricultural and energy risk management products, raised objections to the Obama administration's derivatives regulatory plan, saying it's too far-reaching and costly. Cargill officials say the plan appears to seek a regulatory solution for all over-the-counter products in response to risks posed by one particular market, credit default swaps. And they add that mandatory clearing and margining of tailored hedges will have a significant drain on working capital at a time when capital is highly constrained and credit is in short supply. Hog market experts at the World Pork Expo say pork producers may need to cull the nation's sow herd at least 5% and possibly as much as 10% over the next year to 18 months to help get the industry back to profitability. The industry is now in its second year of financial losses. North Carolina farmer Don Butler, president of the National Pork Producers Council, says, quote, "The top challenge is input costs. There's no question about it. We are on a new plateau of input costs, and we don't see any relief in sight." According to USDA figures, the country has about 6 million hogs, about 200,000 fewer than a year ago. A 5% reduction would amount to about 300,000 fewer sows. USDA says state and federal laboratories will use a new test to detect the differences between the H1N1 flu outbreak virus that's sickened thousands of people and the H1N1 flu virus that's the most common flu virus in swine. The new strain, now being called the H1N1 flu outbreak virus by USDA, is a hybrid of swine, avian, and human genes. The new virus likely emerged from a process known as recombination. According to the Centers for Disease Control, the H1N1 flu outbreak virus has accounted for more than 11,000 human cases and 17 deaths in the U.S. The USDA's surveillance program would monitor H1N1 flu outbreak virus in three ways. USDA would step in if hogs got sick after being linked to a human case. The agency would also step in if hogs were observed with flu-like symptoms at a point of concentration like at a fair or a pork expo. The third reason the USDA would step in would be if a hog producer voluntarily submitted a sample to a veterinary laboratory. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Corn producers have plenty to consider when it comes to new crop marketings, including revenue insurance. Todd Gleason has more.
Crop revenue insurance gives corn farmers a natural put, says University of Illinois Extension ag economist Darrell Good. A put is a marketing term that means the right to sell at a designated price. In this case, that right is part and parcel of the crop insurance agreement and is set at 404. Good is satisfied with not doing a whole lot about marketing the coming corn crop then until a price well above $4.04 is reached in the December CME Group futures contract, and that was the case at the time of this interview.
We're kind of in that territory where we say we have to be making some decisions, that at $4.50, $4.55 2009 DEES futures, so probably a place to think about making some sales. I tend to think that we want to stay pretty small in terms of percentage sold right now for two reasons that are related. One, we have the critical summer growing season ahead of us. And two, beyond harvest, we have another year of factors that are going to influence price beyond harvest. And we're beginning to see some optimism that perhaps our economic conditions will improve as we move into the last quarter of this year and into the first half of 2010. And if we do see some economic recovery, I think that's going to kind of push energy prices higher and put a better base under demand for our commodities. So we're at a starting place. We've got downside risk. Probably should be marketing some of the crop, but in my opinion, not aggressively at this point.
Illinois' Darrell Good defines not aggressively as something less than 20% of the expected corn production.
With so much of the marketing year in front of us, I personally would think of 20% or less of the crop being sold at these price levels.
Good believes the Illinois corn crop could be shorter than many expect, and the demand for corn domestically and internationally may return in the coming year. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Bruce Bostert of the Ludlow Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Why don't you give us the lowdown on what's going on now in soybeans?
Well, we continue to see very aggressive basis levels on soybeans. Some of the processors have switched over to the August in a heavily inverted market. That's a common thing to do. It makes the inverse look even larger. You know, if you've got a big July-August spread of 50 cents or something like that, 30 over looks big, but 80 over looks even bigger. So you see that happen a lot. The bids are all front-end loaded. Part of that is what the processors are facing on the other side. The people buying meal from them are buying hand-to-mouth, so they're just wanting to, you know, keep the mill going, get it turned out the door, and then worry about the beans later on down the road if they actually get something sold for that slot.
On the corn side, are you seeing that corn is coming in for spot delivery with high moisture levels?
We had high moisture levels earlier. We saw a lot of 18% corn coming in before we got into the fields. I haven't seen that recently. I hope it's not still out there. If it is, it's probably not going to be pretty when it comes in now. But basis has been improving a little bit on corn. We've seen a couple cent improvement on old crop and new crop. One big factor out here we have to keep look at is Illinois processors, as we push this planting window back 30 days, that's that many more old crop stocks we're going to be using up before we start getting the new crop coming in.
So actually that the delay here might be a blessing in disguise is what you're saying?
Yes. I mean, we're going to have a 13-month marketing window for the 2008-2009 crop instead of a 12-month window.
Very interesting. What about your prices for today, sir?
We are at $4.33 on June corn, $4.38 for new crop, beans $12.42 on the nearby.
Thank you very much, sir. You have a great day today.
Thank you.
That's Bruce Bostert of the Ludlow Co-op. He is in Ludlow, Illinois, and he joins us every Friday afternoon on the Closing Market Report. We have a pretty great website that has all of our audio from our broadcasts in it, as well as USDA reports and a bunch of other goodies as it applies to markets. You can go and visit it at WILLAG.org. You can sign up for our agricultural e-letter there as well. That comes out every weekend, a free marketing letter that will give you a leg up on grain marketing. It's Feast Day of St. Boniface, patron saint of brewers. On this day in agricultural history in 1856, the first vegetarian community was established in Kansas by Henry Club, the leading advocate of vegetarianism in the U.S. Club wrote that his colony would preserve the principles of vegetarianism and would induce thousands of wavering citizens to, quote, adopt a system of diet so highly conducive to their happiness and well-being. The dream colony was named Octagon City. In 1876, foil-wrapped bananas were sold for a dime at the Centennial Exposition in Philadelphia. Bananas became a popular treat for the first time in the U.S. when word spread about how delicious they were. In 1877, the U.S. Congress taxed oleomargarine to protect the dairy industry. The Margarine Act of 1886 was in response to a judicial ruling saying oleomargarine could not be banned from import or production. And in 1883, James and William Horlick developed the process to dehydrate milk, and they received a patent for it. They called the new powder malted milk. The original idea was to produce a milk product for babies and invalids that could be shipped without spoiling. And that's this day in agricultural history.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on Illinois Public Media. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, we have the month of May in the books. How did it shake out?
I don't think it'd be any surprise if I said it was shaking up pretty wet. We had a lot of precipitation, a lot of rain across, especially the central and southern Midwest, from central Missouri across Illinois and Indiana into Michigan. And the main reason for the major planting delays we had during the spring here, we had that one dry week, the fourth full week of May, which was where we saw a huge jump in planting progress before the next rain came in. So precipitation was pretty high, well above normal, almost twice normal in some areas. We saw upwards of 12 inches in parts of southwestern and southeastern Illinois. So that's probably the main story right now, but now it looks like we're probably a little bit more of a typical summer-like pattern.
So you're willing to say we're changing the trend?
I think a little bit. I don't think we'll hopefully keep seeing some rain because the crops are going to need it, but it looks like focus for the heavier rain will be further north over the next week or so, and actually that's where they need it. It's rather dry from Minnesota across Wisconsin and northern lower Michigan, and they're actually been in drought status there for quite a while. They could use the rain. Further south through Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, Kentucky, Ohio, we should stay with some scattered showers and thunderstorms, but much warmer weather as the weekend progresses, and another front be coming through, so we'll see some scattered showers and thunderstorms, but nothing like the widespread torrential rains we've seen in the last 2 weeks.
Warmer, how so, later in the week, because it sure does feel cool out there now.
Well, it is, actually. It's in the 70s in many areas, and the dew points, which has been a remarkable thing this spring so far, is that when it does get cool and dry, it gets very dry. Dew points are in the 40s, so we'll be getting some good evaporation rates today. But by Sunday, it looks like we'll be well into the 80s across most of Illinois, even as far north as northern Illinois, although some clouds and maybe some rain there will hold temperatures down a bit. But we'll probably be seeing temperatures in the upper 80s here in central Illinois and Indiana by Sunday.
Any places across the Midwest you're keeping particular eye?
Only the upper Midwest right now, because they really could use some rain. They made a huge progress in planting. They were ahead of the schedule, much of Minnesota, Iowa, and Wisconsin in planting this season because they had the good weather. It was all further south, but now they really could use some rain. And we're hoping we keep getting those rains spaced out at decent intervals so that farmers can get in the fields when they need to, but yet we can get the rain for the crops.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, Dave.
Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. And that is today's Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Remember, you can listen to today's futures analysis, cash grain analysis, and weather reports on the World Wide Web. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the audio analysis tab. This is Dave Dickey.